it, to turn on the light. Don't lap it, it will be alright. Call me out another phone. I'll ring and see if your friends are home. Perhaps the strange ones in the dome can lend us a book we can read up alone and try. Get it on. Crash course for the rails. It's a driving Saturday. Young, the foreman, great at work. Neither hands nor limbs would burst. It's hard enough to keep formation with this fallout saturation. Personate the astronaut who stands and steals by his cabinet. He's crashing out with Sylvia. The bureau's applied for regiment. It's not in it, he gazes to the shore. Once outraged to see the raids no more. Like the video film.
Suspenseful. 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Dave,
a crash course for the ravers.
Dave's not here, man.
DJ wasn't here. What's happening, man?
Oh,
Jimmy James in the room.
Just another great day in Boston.
Thanks a lot to Kirsten. Great something about the women's show there.
Absolutely. She's great. I like her.
She's a good interviewer, too.
Yeah.
I heard her earlier. She was on, she had Mike Newman with her, helping her out, I guess. But she can do fine on her own. She's fine. Yeah, she could teach Mike a couple of things. Nah, I'm just kidding. Mike's great too. Mike's great too. They're all great. Good morning, team there.
Woo.
What, I got, that was a close one?
That was a close one.
A crash course for the Ravers show. This is. I'm Brian Young. That's Jimmy James.
Yes, and we're going to bring you some of the best rock and roll you've ever heard in your life. Plus, we have today...
Greg Allen's Fringe Religion.
Fantastic.
It should be coming any time soon. I think I saw... Is that Mike Stewart I saw in the hallway?
That is Mike Stewart.
What's he up to? Is he going to join us or what?
I was hoping he would.
Is he vacuuming the floors out there? What's he... Mike, get on in here. What are you doing?
Mike, if you're in the building, get your goodies in here.
Hopefully we got Mike back for the day. That would be good. Greg Allen definitely coming in. I think Cal might stop by, too.
Well, you know, the more the merrier. It's Saturday. It's beautiful out. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by.
Right. It is a great day. Marie's not stopping by. She's staying home. I don't know. I don't know what she's doing. She's writing or something. She's been writing a lot.
Well, writing is good.
Probably writing her how she's going to kill me.
No, that would show intent.
Right.
No.
I don't know what she's
not writing about you, you egomaniac.
She's writing some.
She's just writing.
She's writing some kind of masterpiece. We're just talking to Greg Prevost. Greg Prevost of Chesterfield Kings.
Kings, yes.
Yeah. Well, we had his... He sent me his new album a few months ago. Maybe it was, I don't know, half a year ago or something. It came out. Awesome album.
Yeah. You were big on that for
a little bit there. Yeah, The Vagrant one. What's it called? Ah, jeez. I can't even think of the name of it right now. I'll think of it, though. Universal Vagrant.
There you go.
Is Greg Prevost's new album.
Okay.
And, had it in here, ripped it in, like, you know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I didn't think.
But there's another step. After I rip it, there's another step. When I rip a CD into our system, there's another step that the student exec board won't tell me.
The classic, you missed the last button after you did the entire resume.
No, it's nothing to do with me. There's another step they got to do every time I do this. So I'm always waiting for them to do that. But his album never went through. It's like, I always look for it, and it's not there. And what's worse is the CD's missing now. Someone swiped it. So I had to, you know, I feel like a fool about it.
Lock.
I had to tell Greg, it's gone. You know, I know he's wondering, why are you always playing my old CD? I gave you the new one. And so I finally had to tell him, you know, can you send me another? And he said, most definitely. And,
say, listen, your fans are rabid, man. I can't even keep that CD in house.
No, he said.
Do you know how fast that thing got out of here?
I actually sent him the message.
Just ask him for another one.
I did. I actually sent him the message a while ago, but he just saw it. He's like, I thought he was like mad at me. I'm like, wow, he never answered that. He's all pissed. But no, he's like, wow, I can't believe I missed this one. He's like, sure, what's your address again? You know, so that will be on its way, and we'll be playing some new Greg Prevost. Yeah. In the meantime,
In the meantime, I'll go home and I'll find that CD you were looking for, because I'm the one that probably swiped it.
You probably did. Look, Universal Vagrant.
I'll look for it.
Look for Universal Vagrant, Greg Stackhouse Prevost. In the meantime, we'll play from his earlier solo works. And yes, we do have Greg Allen's Fringe Religion coming in. I think they're doing CDs. We could hear something acoustic. I don't know, but most likely CDs and a chat.
Always a good time.
Right. Here's one. Here's Greg. He's covering a little Stones. And then we'll play something. We'll play him covering Stones with his old band, Chesterfield Kings. And then to really make it up for him, well, then I'll play one of his originals. All right?
Right!
MFO! Hey, you got a request? 781-3... No. Oh, yeah, that's locally. Well, call this one. 855-915-9636. It's MFO.
Front door. Did you ever the feeling, baby, that you've been here before. When you drive your motorcycle, baby, and you drive around your graveyard world, did you ever have the feeling, baby, that you've been here before?
MF. Oh, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Caroline calling in from Seattle.
What's up, Caroline? Seattle? Wow. What's going on? How do we know Caroline, Jimmy?
Caroline.
I've been on your show.
Sweet Caroline.
Missionaries.
Oh, missionaries. How's it going?
Yeah, the missionaries.
Okay, I wasn't putting two and two together. Right now I have Greg Allen's Fringe Religion in front of me, so it's a lot of stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, I know. You're a busy guy.
Right on.
Just remember boob power. Both
of those boob power?
No. Yeah.
I like boob power. All right.
I still wear the t-shirt.
Oh, is that their album or something?
Both sides. Work.
Missionaries.
No, it's just something I said on the air a few years back when I was on the show.
Hey, that's great, Caroline. Well, if Jimmy reminds me, we'll play Missionaries after Greg Allen's segment, okay?
Hey, Mike.
Well, the last time I was there, you couldn't play it. There were too many curse words.
Oh, all right.
But there was,
every hook had a curse word in it. Remember?
Okay.
Well,
right.
Except for one song. There's a ballad with no curse words in it called Spirit Child. You can play that. There's no curse word.
We'll try and figure it out after this segment, all right?
Thanks for calling
in. All right, but it's my birthday, so just play whatever you want.
Oh, we'll play something for you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Caroline.
Thanks a lot. Means a lot.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. All right. We'll be right up with Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. First, let's hear a PSA from George Perkins. I think this is the guy from Lighthouse. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know.
It says George Perkins. Does he live in Cambridge?
Probably. This could be a trivia question. If anybody knows the answer to this, please call in.
It's George Perkins, this guy.
855-915-9636. That's WMFO.
You're going to get ready to laugh your butt off.
Yeah.
The Cambridge Bicycle Committee says, get on your bikes, have fun, and ride safe. Here's how.
A pavement light shoots a light at night. The stop signs apply to you all right. Watch for the man sitting in his car. He's gonna kick that door ajar. Go with the flow, don't go the wrong way. Put that helmet on your head today. Well, all right. Get on your bikes, ride safe, have fun. All right.
From the Cambridge Bicycle Committee.
Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers.
It's a crash course for the ravers.
Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
I wish that I could date her. I hope she's not another princess. I hope she's not a complete mess. Elevator girl, why do you bring me down? I can't see the forest from the trees, but you never come around. All day standing in the doorway, in a box, don't even have a hallway. She's cool, prepared for any crisis. For sure, nothing short of priceless. Elevator girl, why do you bring me down? I can't see the forest from the trees, but you never come around. Really kind of stunning. She's got big hair like a lion's mane or something. She's got big smile bigger than a movie screen. That's why maybe I'm so keen. Elevator girl, why do you bring me down? I can't see the forest from the tree, but won't you come around? Elevator girl, why do you bring me down?
It gets lower. Right. 91.5 WMFO in Medford with Greg Allen's Fringe Religion, the Elevator Girl.
Indeed.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Now, is that, that's your new EP, right?
No, that was the one we did a couple years ago with the other guys. And we're doing something now that's, it's different, you know. We're doing a recording with Paul Coldery. We're recording up in Vermont.
Did you bring anything from that?
No.
Because you don't have anything.
We don't have anything that's, mixed the way, you know, we want it at this point. So next time when it's done, we'll bring the whole EP, the record.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's coming along really well.
Right on. Now, the Greg Allen's Fringe Religion looks a little different since the last time you've been on.
Yeah, it's a new band. It's two new guys. The other guys quit. because that's what happens when you're in a band. Yeah,
well,
it just doesn't take much.
I thought they all got sex changes.
Yeah. No, I don't think that happened.
Well, no, I mean, we know Chicago Vin well. He was actually on the show last week. Great guy. And he actually said he left. He wanted to do some project that I guess the guys he was with before he was even with you.
Yeah,
so,
he had done an album a while back, and I guess he wanted to continue doing his own stuff, which, of course, why not? I mean, and Kurt had his other band.
Right. What's that band?
They're the High End.
Oh, right.
And
okay,
so he was in two bands
that.
At once.
All right.
Yeah, and so he's got that band's, playing quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
And so
they're great. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And it's just, it made sense to kind of like, they just were like, we're done. We got to move on. We got other stuff to do. And I was like, fine, because these other two guys wanted to play. And I had played with Greg for a long time, on and off for 30 years. We went over to Europe together, and we did the Two Saints, the second tour.
Jimmy, you want to shut off the air conditioner, please? It's loud. Sorry about that, Greg.
And and so we met Daly here, a.k.a. Mystery Man. He'd come to a few of our shows.
Why is he the mystery?
I don't know.
Man?
I mean, I'd see this guy there in the audience sometimes, and he'd wear like a leather jacket and the surfer cross. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy's.
He's kind of dressed like Adam Ant today.
Well, it's good. That's a good look. But at the time, I was like, I was sounding like, did this guy just, is he on leave from the Bellevue Psychiatric Ward? And I'm thinking, and Greg's like, no, he's a drummer. He's a good drummer. And I'm thinking, well, okay,
He's a sharp dresser. I'll tell you that.
He is. He is. He's a sharp dresser and a fine drummer.
Right.
And a hell of a guy.
And then we have Greg. And I've known Greg for a while. I mean, right? I mean, what other bands have you been in, Greg?
I was in the Port Charles Quintet previously.
There you go.
I'm psyched to see Pete Scholstead. He's playing in Muckin' and Myers now.
Yep.
And
this is the other Greg. So there's two Gregs in the band now.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Does that get confusing?
It sucks. It's like Greg spins around. Greg, it's like I'm going home.
Daly, you just call yourself Greg, right?
I think that's a good idea.
That will stop the confusion.
Three G's.
Oh, one's with three G's and one's with two.
Kind of like the new Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
You want to hear something else?
Up to you.
Play Queen of Dirt or talk a little more?
Yeah, we could do whatever you want. It's your show.
Let's play Queen of Dirt.
Okay.
And, figure out what we're going to do next here. Are you going to play today?
No, I didn't bring anything.
All right.
I pull out the acoustic guitar and turn into a hippie for 20 minutes. I don't think I can do it today. Next time we'll play, a full band, in here. It'll
no
be,
problem. I mean, I'm
kind of apprehensive, but sometimes it's like, oh, here we go, the acoustic guitar. It's fine sometimes, but today it's sort of like, it'd be like acoustic guitar hat on somebody. I'm just not in the mood for it.
That's no problem at all. We have plenty of material here. Let's hear one. Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. What was the name of this album?
The last one was just a single. We had, Queen of Dirt and the other one, The Elevator Girl.
Oh, because it seems like I got a bunch of songs in here, though, no?
Well, I think that's probably from my other stuff, the Greg Allen catalog, which goes on forever.
Okay.
But there's stuff I did, the Jerry Nolan stuff, the stuff off the album I did with Johnny Rayo, and the stuff, the Night Bob stuff, and pick and choose. Use your own discretion.
Let's try this
big
one.
Big fun with Fringe Religion.
Queen of Dirt, Greg Allen's Fringe Religion on MFO.
Take a look at those hands. Take a look at those clothes. And let your dark mind roam. Pin the tail on the host. She's so nouveau-ish. With an old veneer. She's like a Beaujolais. From a real bad year. Now, feast your eyes on your mother superior. Tacky like a licorice stick. Twisted like a sailor's rope. She'd fuck Jesus in the street. Just to let the whole world know. Now, feast your eyes on your mother superior.
MFO, you're on the air.
Hello, Bryce. Cal.
What's up, Cal?
Downstairs.
Downstairs, waiting to be let in?
Yes.
Okay, we'll send someone down, buddy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep, you got it. And we're on the air with Greg Allen's Fringe Religion, and we just heard Queen of Dirt, eh?
Beautiful song about a beautiful woman. That's all I can say about that.
Now, you've worked with some of my heroes, I gotta say. I mean, look, we love New York Dolls and Johnny Thunders. It's all staples music of this program.
Product of our generation.
Yes. You were actually part of that album, Jerry Nolan and the
Well, Jerry Nolan, the Profilers. What had happened was, I may have told the story before, but I had known Jerry.
Go right ahead. I mean, I'm sure there's people listening that weren't that time, you know?
Yeah. I guess it was around the time I went to England with you guys and the Two Saints. I had met Jerry, and I had my own band called the Whores of Venice that were playing around and in Manhattan. And we'd do shows, you know, opening for Syl and Jerry's band. They had a band called the Ugly Americans, Sylvain and Jerry Nolan. So we'd open shows for them then. I'd see Jerry in my neighborhood, and he'd come over, and we'd hang out. And eventually he left the band and said, you know, why don't, you know, we put something together? And in the meantime, these guys in Boston said, oh, you know, we're going over to Europe to do a tour. If you want to come play guitar, that'd be fine. So I said, sure, and left Jerry at my apartment there. I think he was staying there at that time.
Right.
And so when I got back, I got some money to do some recording myself, and I had a drummer in Boston that was going to play, and Jerry looked at me and said, why are you getting him? And I said, because we need a drummer. And he goes, how about me? I didn't think of it.
Oh, my God.
It was so stupid.
Well, you probably didn't think he'd do it.
We're friends. You know when you're with a friend and you're like, that's my friend Jerry the drummer. But then you become friends and he's just like a friend. It's not like some semi-famous guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, of course. So we got, me and Jerry got together and we got Vinny from Rhode Island. We started recording. And I think the first time Jerry saw us, we were playing at this Hell's Angel bar and the Whores of Venice were. And I was sitting down. I had my beer and... You know, after I got back off the set, Jerry's standing next to my chair, and he kept, like, shaking his head. And I was about to, I was about to sit down again. Some guy goes, that's my seat. And I go, no, it's not. It's my seat. Right. He goes, no, it's not. It's my seat. You know, I kind of forgot it was, like, the Hell's Angels bar.
Right.
So I grabbed my beer, and then he grabbed my beer. And I said, that's my beer. He goes, no, that's my beer. And I go, no, Jerry's, like, shaking his head. Do not, you just don't want to get killed.
Yeah.
So that, that was a nice place to play. But we started rehearsing and stuff, and... We were good friends and stuff, and we've got about five songs that we're recording at this place called Baby Monster Studios in Manhattan, and we got through most of it, and he got sick at the end, and he couldn't even make it up the stairs, and we're like, oh, this is not good. And I finally got a phone call from his girlfriend who said, he's in the hospital, and he died shortly after that, and so I had the master reels, and I took him to a few different places.
He didn't even get to see this release.
No, he didn't, and we didn't even think we were going to put it out because it came out like 20 years after he died. And Vinny helped with baking the tapes and stuff, and then I brought it to New York, and I mixed it with this guy Brad Whirl, and we just put it out. And
so it's quite a bit after he passed away.
Yeah, like 20 years. And that's the only stuff we could save. Most of the stuff had fallen. It was so old, it was falling off the reels, and we had to literally put it in an oven and bake it. And then we brought it into Pro Tools and kind of, modified it that way. And so it came out okay, but we only were able to save about five songs. But a lot of people like it, and it's an interesting thing. It's a,
Why don't we hear something from it, huh?
Sure.
Voodoo Blues?
Sure.
Right on. All right, we're sitting here with Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. This is a band he was with. When did you record this?
89, 90, something like that. Maybe 90, I'd say.
Jerry Nolan from New York Dolls. Jerry Nolan and the Profilers. And did you produce it as well, Greg?
Yeah, I did. Well, we had Night Bob originally did it, producing it, and then... The mixes got so screwed up because it was such a long period of time and so many people screwing around with them that it was, it was like a circus or something. So I finally just did it in the end. I kind of like produced it and Brad engineered it in New York, and it's the best we could do with it considering what's shaped.
I haven't heard it in a long time, but I remember really liking it.
It is what it is.
Oh, I think it's great. So check it out. This one's Voodoo Blues on 91.5 WMFO in Medford. We'll 91.5 WMFO in Medford. More of Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. Oh, no, actually, that was, Jerry Nolan and the Profilers, Voodoo Blues, featuring Greg Allen, who I have right here.
Yeah, we were talking off here about the Jerry Nolan clip and about your new album that you're working on.
Well, I mean, Jerry did that clip before he died. That was just something he did at CBGB's. Somebody was interviewing him for some magazine, and he mentioned that he was putting a band together with me. And that's ancient, you know.
It's on YouTube, this video?
It's not a video. It's just like a brief interview with him talking about the, you know, like as the album wound up, the Profiles album, but prior to that.
It's audio,
know,
yeah.
It's a video.
Oh, there is a video.
There's a video, and he just goes, they go, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I guess Johnny had died. And he said, I don't want to talk about that. And they said, well, what's going on? And he said, I'm putting a band together with this guy, Greg Allen, and we're going to put a band together and start recording.
I've seen that. That's right.
But, you know,
you must have pointed it out to me at one point, Mike. Right. I've seen that.
But there's a book coming out now in October on him, a bio. So that's something that could be interesting.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Are they going to interview you for that?
They have for a few years interviewed me on and off. So I don't know how, you know, who knows how I'm going to look in it, you know.
Book, Greg.
You know how this stuff goes. All of a sudden it's like, you know, you could catch me on a day where, it has nothing to do with me. I'm just saying, you know, it could be like, you know, I look like I'm a Jerry hater. I could look like...
I see what you mean, but no, I'm sure that most of these books... Yeah.
Well, some of them are like, you know, a bag of leaves.
Who's writing it?
This guy Kurt Weiss, and he's a drummer, and he replaced Jerry in a Rolling Stones, a bag of leaves. It's not anything you want to read. It's something you want to, you know, line your kitty litter box with.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not saying this book is going to be anything like that. I certainly hope not. But you never know. I mean, but anyway, this guy Kurt Weiss, he's a drummer. He's from I believe he's from Seattle, and he replaced Jerry in a band called the Rock Cats in the in Manhattan in I guess the 80s, and he was a big fan of Jerry's. And so he's interviewed everybody. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's got a lot of information there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll see who knows what's going to happen with it. But it'll be out in October.
Well, fingers crossed. I bet you'll look fine in it.
Well, who knows about this anyway. But we have some new stuff. We got a new record we're working on. And I don't have anything because we only have rough mixes.
What do you got going on it? What are you writing about?
I mean, you know, this is like the songs, basically. You know, it's the subject matter is more kind of like fun subject matter, more like family-oriented themes. Like, we got a song about this narcissistic tow truck driver from Revere Beach who's like, well, he's probably gay, but girls love him. And
is this a real character? You know,
these are the songs. And that's called...
Radio. Wait. What are you guys doing over here?
Oh, sorry.
There's a radio.
On the air?
Yes, there's a radio program. Are you drunk?
Oh, yeah, not yet.
Anyway, yeah, so we got Joe the Tow Truck Driver is one of the songs about that guy. You know, he's like kind of a weirdo. Then I got another song that's another, you know, it's called Carney Love. It's a song about a girl who dumps her boyfriend to go on the road with this amphetamine-addicted tilt-a-whirl operator.
Yeah.
And he only speaks in, like, carny metaphors and, you know, stuff that's related to circus life. And he's a real nut.
So are these people you've met?
These are just themes. Like I said, I'm trying to do, like, a family kind of happier album than the other stuff where it was more morose. So now I'm trying to colorize it a little bit. And this is another one here called Miles Away. It's about a boy who feels like kind of disconnected from life and reality, and everything he does is in vain. So he's not doing well. And then I got a real here's another one. She's Stoned. This is a great song.
Yeah,
it's about this girl who kind of missed the boat when the punk new wave movement hit, and she's still smoking weed like a hippie, and these guys are running around like, you know, the Sex Pistols, and she doesn't get it. You know,
nice.
It's going to be a beautiful little record.
I can't wait till it comes out. Got something.
Comedy at its finest. So
right,
that's what's
going
to happen. And, you know, and we've got Daly played drums on it, and Greg played bass. And, you know, basically we sit and seethe and argue over the mixes. That's why we don't have anything here at the moment. But when we do, you'll be the first to hear it.
Sounds great, man.
Oh, it's great. It's going to be.
Right on. Oh, anything else you got? Oh, the show tonight, Spotlight Tavern, Real Kids, Muck in the Myers, Greg Allen's Fringe Religion.
Right. This is our second gig as
That Spotlight, is that Salem Spotlight Tavern?
That's in Beverly on Rantoul Street, and that's tea accessible. And
that's Mike Stewart, by the way.
Yeah, you can go right to their website, and like the commuter rail stops a couple blocks down the street. They're right on the main street, a bus route, and easy to get to. So I implore people to come up to see the band.
There you go. Now you're out.
Yeah, like I said, they're on Rantoul Street. The commuter rail stops a couple blocks down the street. It's on a bus route from Salem, and there's plenty of parking.
You'll be able to recognize the venue by, you know, the line of crackheads standing on the corner. The last time we played there, and I didn't like the place, but it was sort of like, you know, some chicks running down the street with my guitar. You know, I'm like, what? Whoa.
I've been there a couple times.
It's a great place.
It's a fun place. Yeah.
It is. But it, sure. You know, questionable activity sometimes. Could be anywhere.
Well, I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there. You're going to go, Mike?
Yeah, I'll be there.
It'll be great to see you guys.
Right
you
on. Know, right on. Anything else? What else we got to talk about?
These fellas here, the new guys in the group.
Yeah, why don't you go talk, give a little background.
Sure.
Daly.
Yep, Daly Jones, drummer for Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. And it seems like we've got a little bit of a Seattle theme going on here. The guy who wrote the book Seattle, yes. Caroline from Seattle, by the way, happy birthday. And I'm actually from Seattle as well. Moved out here to Boston about 2.5 years ago and was in an original group back in Seattle called Trigger Happy. And when we would play our shows, we played them in full leather. So coming out here and checking out the music scene in Boston, you know, Greg's talking about how I showed up at these shows wearing leather jacket and everything because I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, you sure are. Yeah. Have you seen me out yet?
Not yet.
Well, I'll be right with you, buddy.
Two leathermen.
Okay. Yeah, I do the pants too, sure.
Exactly. So yeah. I was looking for a band to play with.
Don't stop doing that. People do it here.
Got it. Yeah, I was looking for a band to join and wound up finding an ad on Craigslist for Two Saints, so went and auditioned, got involved with those guys and helping them finish the last album
Two
that we
Saints.
Put together.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's where I met Greg Steinbaugh.
Okay. You were in Two Saints too?
Yeah.
Good band, yeah.
We've all been in Two Saints.
With Marky Muscle, right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And
we got a peanut gallery here today, but
no problem.
Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah, I was in a band back in the 80s.
Greg.
And then Joe and Marky put the thing back together again. And we did some recording, and then things just kind of, you know how bands go.
Right. To the wayside sometimes.
Exactly.
Let's hope ours don't do that, but this one looks like a good one. This looks pretty solid.
It's a lot of fun.
We're looking forward. We're going to New York next month. We're going to play in Jersey at some crazy-ass Roadhouse burlesque club.
Right
and then
on.
We're playing at Hank's Saloon. They're like, I know. Everybody wants to go to Jersey.
What's the name of the Roadhouse?
It's called Roxy's Roadhouse. We're playing there. And then I think we're getting Walter's band, Walter Lur's band, coming up here, and we're going to do a show with them.
Waldo's?
Yep.
Nice.
We're working on it. And what other big excitement do we have coming down the road? That's it for the time being, I think. Oh, and then we're doing Cal's thing next week, right, Cal?
That's right.
That's going to be crazy fun.
Cal, you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Give Cal a mic for a second. He's over here making all sorts of noise. Let's let him make some noise here.
Can I have headphones?
Cal Cali, everyone. What's going on next week, Cal? Let us know.
Okay, this is on Sunday, Father's Day. So we have a benefit for Out of the Blue Gallery. It's an art gallery in its new location, 5,000 square feet, right across from the Middle East, 521 Mass Ave in Central Square, Cambridge. So we got Fire King, Tsunami of Sound, Classic Ruins, Randy Black, The Kens, Kenny Highland, Kenny Kaiser, Billy Connors Project with Ray Fernandez, and Stigmatics with Randall, who will be the drummer for the Real Kids tonight. Last ones, Black Souls, Knockups. No, it isn't Knockups. It's Gretchen Solo.
Gretchen Shea from Knockups. Right.
And then, my band, Glider. And then we have Greg, which is going to be on there.
Greg Allen's Fringe Religion, these guys.
State of the Union with Joe Perry and Joe Moir.
Moyer.
It looks like Moir.
Right.
And Sandy, huh? Sandy on drums.
Yeah.
And we got the Thigh Scrapers.
Who are those?
I don't know who they are.
Who are those punks?
They're new. They're, yeah. Club Linehan a go-go, okay? And then there's a little birthday thing going on with them, so that's early.
Who's the birthday for?
I wish I could remember now. It's one of the guys in the band. I'm not sure. I forget.
Linehan?
No, Bob Daly. Is it Bob Daly, maybe? Is it
I don't
Daly
know.
The drummer? No, Kevin Linehan's the drummer.
Right.
Sorry, I'm confused. Doesn't take much.
That's okay.
Well, then we got a band from South Jersey, third time something, that are driving through town and they want to play. So we're going to have them go on at 12 before
right.
everything.
Okay.
Okay.
And so, I'll be emceeing that.
And you'll be emceeing, and you just make a donation, you know, of any size. You know?
Right. It's to save the Out of the Blue Gallery, so
that's
it's a good
right.
cause.
Right. To bring Out of the Blue into the Black.
Right on. All right. Right on. You also hang out with Johnny Thunders a bit.
Well, yeah.
Kind of a hero of mine.
He, the first, as it started, and I brought this jacket in to show you, that I got
I want
to
wear it.
Manager.
I want to wear it.
It's pretty, it'll be pretty small on you. You look like,
right.
You know, like one of those play school kids.
Well, I won't
on the
rip
bus.
It. I'm certainly not fat.
No. Well, yeah, we can check it out. So, you know.
It's a little shrunk with blood. Mike, please stop touching the mics. I'm sorry, but, yeah.
So, Thunders, well, we opened shows for him back in the 80s when the Daughters were on tour with him. And so we opened a few shows at the Living Room and in Providence, Rhode Island. And then I don't think anybody got to know him, but
right.
he'd come over to the house when I was hanging around with Jerry. And, you know, I'd go out with those guys a few times. Johnny was doing an acoustic show, and I had some real weird stories about one time.
anything you could say on
well,
the air?
Well, yeah, I guess I could. This is a very... telling.
Go for
this
it.
Is very telling of the time.
A Johnny Thunder story.
Well, it's not. It involves him.
All
and
right.
and so Jerry came over to my house one day, and he was playing at this place down at the end of the street. Johnny was doing an acoustic set at the name of the place escapes me at the moment, but it was right on Houston Street.
Right.
And so Johnny comes in. He sits down at the table, and he's with this beautiful blonde girl. And so me and Jerry sit down, and Johnny can be like, some days he doesn't know who you are.
Right.
He just doesn't, you know. Just
he seems kind of senile.
No, he's just aloof and hates your guts sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And he'll just pick your cigarettes and just start smoking them and stuff and kind of pay. No, though I've met him several times before, he just doesn't want to pay any attention to me. But the girl he's sitting next to is beautiful, and he's with her. And Jerry's looking at me kind of weird and stuff. And so Jerry goes up and grabs a beer for me. And
Are you saying Johnny Thunder should not be my hero?
Well, no, I just want to... This story you're going to find frightening.
Okay,
This story indirectly involves him. So
right.
he's with this girl. I shake her hand, and she kind of tickles the palm of my hand. I'm like, wow. So I'm thinking, she's really, like, hot, and she probably doesn't like Johnny that much. So, you know, and then I see Jerry looking at me, and Jerry keeps shaking his head. So I'm thinking...
You got a shot.
He's shaking his head looking at me like going, don't do it. And I'm thinking,
okay.
He's saying, don't do it because the girl's with Johnny. But he's looking at me kind of weird. And so she keeps looking at me, and Johnny's looking down, you know, what, he's dropping a cigarette on the floor or whatever.
Right.
And so then Jerry looks at me and gets up and leaves. So then I'm like, okay, I'm stuck with Johnny and this blonde girl, and I feel kind of weird. So I go home. And I'm thinking, man, I wish... You know, I could have gone home with her.
Right,
she was
right.
beautiful, you know,
right,
and she
right.
seemed like she liked me. And she was like, you know, all the signs were there. And Johnny's like, he didn't really care. So Jerry comes over to my house the next day, and he goes, did you go home with that girl? And I go, no. And he goes, oh. I go, you looked at me weird, so I left after you left, and you kept shaking your head. He goes, yeah, you know. And he's like, yeah, you know, because she's got AIDS.
Oh, no.
And like... 3 weeks later, I was at her funeral.
Oh, no!
But, I mean, I was just thinking...
That's a horrible story!
Well, you know, I'm just... That's what a lot of that stuff was happening
then.
Oh,
my God.
So I'm thinking, oh, my God, he indirectly, like, kind of saved my life because she died of that. And
yeah.
So I approached her. I went to where she worked. She worked at this rehearsal studio in Manhattan. I said, listen... You know, we were hanging out the other night, and Jerry said that you might be sick. She goes, yeah. She goes, I've been kind of irresponsible. I go, like, how sick are you?
Wow.
And she's like... Well, I've been pretty irresponsible. I said, you're kind of avoiding the question. Are you sick? And she
right.
goes, yes. And I said, so you think if you went home with her and had sex with her or something, you would be so dead because at that time they didn't have cures for it. So
right.
indirectly sort of saved my life.
Oh, my God.
So anyway,
wow.
she was a real, you know, she was a real great, I really liked her personally.
Right.
Yeah, as it turned
I'm
out.
Sorry, I mean, man.
But it was just all around that time, everybody was dying of that. And
right.
Anybody could be a victim
late,
of
that
it.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that was one thing that would kind of freak me out that day. And all
You're
those
right.
all those people that were, you know, intravenous drug users and stuff, they're all... You know, passed away.
Yeah.
There's some of them that managed to, you know, make it. Like Philippe. I read that book on Philippe
Marquet.
That is just a fantastic book.
It sure is.
I wasn't there in the 70s. I was there more in the 80s, but he seems to hit the nail on the head.
Philippe Marquet from the Senders, and he just put out a book called Punk Avenue. Great book.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, and when we interviewed him a couple weeks ago. Really nice guy.
Some funny Jerry stories, too. He's talking about Jerry and some guy's holding a gun right against his head.
Right.
You know, and those guys were just crazy. They were like, I don't, you know, you think about Johnny and Jerry and how they lived, like, they were like, you know, underground, like I don't know, subhuman lifestyle. You know, I mean, I remember Jerry used to carry around this big buck knife with him, you know?
Right.
And I remember one time he came over and he was wearing his pink suit and he was covered in blood.
Pink suit?
Was covered in blood when he got there because somebody beat him over the head with a baseball bat.
It started as white.
No, it was pink, but it became red.
Right.
I still got the suit at my house. I'll show it to you. But you know, he went down to like Clinton Street, and some Puerto Rican guy didn't like the way he was looking at his kid and smashed his head open with a baseball bat.
Oh my God!
But weird stuff like that would happen all the time. But Johnny would come over, and with Jerry, and they, you know, do that thing, and you know, I thought both of them were great. I loved the Dolls and the Heartbreakers, and you know, it was cool that they, you know, I could hang out with them a little bit once in a while.
Very cool. How did you acquire Johnny's jacket?
We played some shows with Johnny at the Living Room in Providence, Rhode Island, and the first time he came in, he was wearing that coat, and I was like, that's a really cool coat, and I was talking to him about it. And he got it from some guy in Newport, Rhode Island, at a place called Harpo's, swapped a hat for it. And so the manager at the time was managing Johnny, and